Well, good morning. Welcome to City Line Church. If we haven't yet met, my name is Pastor Ryan. I'm the pastor here. You are joining us this morning as we begin. We started last week in our fall sermon series. It's called What We Do in Worship. Each week, we're going to be taking a particular look at the different aspects of our worship service. So one week, we'll look at confession of sin. The next week, maybe the preaching of the word, etc. This week, in this second sermon of the series, we are examining something that we do every week, and that's singing praises to the Lord from a couple of passages from Paul's letters. One way to think about what we do when we come together in worship is by this simple example: learning how to drive. So recently, my sons, Jacob and Ben, have been learning how to drive, so this has been on my mind. But when a young person is learning how to drive, every facet of this complex activity is sort of managed and executed by careful and deliberate choices, right? I need to check my mirrors, all right? I need to make sure that I am hitting my turn signals, ka-chink, right? You're doing it very carefully and deliberately. Push the left pedal down. Stop right now. Right foot. Contrast that with somebody who's been driving for a long time. Let's say you're an adult and you've been driving for years and you're just getting off work, but your mind is thinking about a meeting that you just came off of, a meeting where there was some tension, some anger, some things that frustrated you, and so you're kind of upset by the meeting. And you jump into your car and you're ruminating on the meeting, and suddenly you're home in your driveway. And you've completely forgot all the ride home. You don't remember even driving. How can that be? Well, it's because over time, the habits required to drive become second nature. They become habituated. Similarly, when a new Christian or someone who's come back to church after a long time is away, and they come into a church service and they're experiencing the liturgy and the worship, it's like being a new driver again. You kind of are out of practice. You don't remember the steps. It's all a little awkward, and every little step has to be thought through and deliberate. But what happens when we experience a liturgical worship service week after week is that we are being oriented towards Christ and his kingdom, and that becomes second nature to us. So this fall, all the way through Advent, we'll be trying to dig into this, dig into these things that have become second nature for many of us. Think deeply about these things, what we do when we come together for worship. So this week, we are looking at singing. Why do we sing the songs that we sing as part of our worship service, as part of our liturgy? As we come to this topic, would you pray with me as we come to God's word again this morning? Let's pray. Almighty, everlasting God, in you are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We come once again as we come to your word, asking for your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into all truth, that you would help us understand what these words from Scripture mean and how to put them into practice in our lives by the help of your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I think I've mentioned this before, but believe it or not, I was an athlete in high school. I loved baseball and basketball. I would spend hours outside shooting free throws. For years, I was totally devoted to these two sports. So it was surprising, and even surprising to myself, when I agreed in my junior year of high school to try out for the play. With being in plays. And the theater director was also surprised that I came out for theater, and he was pleasantly surprised with how quickly I took to it. He even asked for me to try out in my senior year for the musical. He assumed, since I naturally took to the stage, that a musical would be no problem. I could do a musical. Until I opened my mouth to sing. I was all over the place. Singing is not one of my gifts. My mom can sing, but that was not something that was passed down to me. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty close to completely tone deaf. However, I did actually end up getting a part in that musical. The musical was called The Princess and the Pea. It was actually a king who was mute and didn't have any singing. So that worked out pretty well for me. I'm thankful that being a beautiful singer is never a prerequisite to singing praises to our Lord. Making a joyful noise to the Lord is something I can do. In fact, singing is something that all Christians, as long as we are able, as long as we have voices, we should be able to sing to the Lord in praise. The Apostle Paul, in two of his letters, Colossians and Ephesians, is explicitly calling us in these passages to sing songs as part of our worship to the Lord. Here's how I'm going to walk through these two passages this morning on the idea of singing praises to the Lord corporately together as a church. We sing because, one, we are invited and commanded to sing. Two, we sing so that the Word of God gets deep into our souls. And three, we sing to glorify God. So again, we are invited and commanded to sing. We sing so the Word gets deep into our souls. We sing to glorify God. Let's start with that first point. We sing because we are invited and commanded to. We sing, when we sing in our worship service, we are simply obeying what God has called us to do in His scriptures. Notice in our first passage that it begins by saying, don't do something. Paul writes, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Paul begins with law, right? Don't do something. Don't get drunk. But he follows it up with an invitation that leads to fuller, deeper life. Don't get drunk. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the outworking of being filled with the Spirit is being able to, as Paul says, sing psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. And we're to make this music to the Lord with all of our hearts. See, God expects His people who are full of God's Spirit to be a singing people. People whose lips are full of His praises. Also notice here in Ephesians 5:19 that God is inviting us as a community to sing to one another. We are to address one another with our songs. When we sing together as a church family, we are confessing our faith to one another all around us during the song. We are hearing other Christians join with us in our singing and confessing what it is that we believe together. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. We are hearing testimonies of the faith all around us when we sing together. Also know that as we sing, we also proclaim the gospel to those who don't believe. In Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2, the Lord is calling the Israelites to be a light to the nations. And to do this, He tells them, in order to be a light to the nations, you have to sing. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of God's wondrous works. See, there's something beautiful and winsome for those with no faith to hear people of faith praising God, confessing our faith as we sing together. This is why Pastor Tim Keller was fond of saying, good corporate worship will naturally be evangelistic. It is telling the gospel. Another part of our invitation to sing is seen in Ephesians 5:20. Paul says that part of our singing is always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In song, in melody of our hearts together, we are giving thanks to the Lord for all that He's done for us. He is a good Father who loves to give good gifts to His children. And the only proper response is to be thankful and to praise Him. Sometimes we don't realize how much we have to be thankful for, beyond just material comforts, beyond health, beyond civil and religious freedoms here in this country. We are people who can be thankful because we have faith in Jesus, that we have been called as his adopted sons and daughters. We've been adopted into God's family and enjoy all the rights and privileges and inheritance of being in this family now and forever. These are all reasons to praise. Our sin has been paid for and forgiven. Our lives are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're given a new family to walk in this life with. We have access to speak with and talk with our Heavenly Father. Our eternal future is secure, and we'll be able to worship God and enjoy Him forever. These are just a few reasons why we get to praise the Lord week in and week out with joyful song. So we sing because we are invited to, and in fact, we are commanded to in Scripture. Now, my second point, we also sing so that God's Word gets deep into our souls. One of the great joys of singing good worship songs and hymns is the ability to absorb some great theological truths and Scripture from the songs themselves. From the best worship songs and hymns that are based on Scripture, we get great theology, and in turn, those deep truths get buried deep in our souls. We can remember them. Think about the song we sang earlier, Christ is Risen. Think about the rich theological depth and truth about the glories of the resurrection. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? O church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. This is a reworking of a passage directly from Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, in a kind of poetic form that we can sing together to our Lord. Or how about the song that we sing around Easter and other times, but it's a thought of as maybe an Easter season song, In Christ Alone. Incredible theological truth embedded in that hymn by the Gettys. The second stanza of In Christ Alone goes into the nature of Christ's incarnation and his substitutionary death on the cross for us. Think of the words, In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Or how about the song that we sing during Advent, Hark the Herald Angels Sing? It's not just a fun Advent song that we sing. The words of that Christmas carol are so beautiful and so true. The second verse is about the nature of the incarnation of Christ as well. Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to our newborn King. These deep theological truths, they get burned into our brains as we work through our liturgical seasons and we sing these songs. Even without knowing it, they become embedded in us. But beyond burning the truths right into our brain, songs also burn the loves into our hearts, into our bones. Back in Ephesians 5:19 says that we are to make music from our hearts to the Lord. Music has that unique ability to get right down into our guts, to our hearts, right into our affections. Songs are easy to remember and even easier to internalize because they affect our guttural emotions. For many of us, it's during the songs of worship that we are most likely to tear up, to have an emotional response to what God is doing in our lives during the worship service. The great reformer and pastor Martin Luther once said, "Whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God." The profound depth and wealth of songs that have been passed along to us by the church help our hearts, as Martin Luther says, cling to God. to what is true and right about God, rather than the stuff of this earth. Our hearts are able to be tuned to the kingdom of Christ rather than to the kingdom of man. It's way too easy to make our next purchase, our next iPhone, or the next movie, the next football game, or even our next new relationship, that thing that our hearts cling to, that we look forward to, that we long to for, our next great love. But God is continually calling us in song back to himself, back to a right understanding and right emotions for God. A sister passage to Ephesians 5 is Colossians 3, 15 and 16. After Paul's exhortation in 3, 12 through 14 on how to live virtuously in a community of Christ, in a church, he says that we are to be girded up by our love of Christ. Paul then turns to a practical consideration of how we do this. How do we live in love with each other in the church? He says you should think about how you worship. Listen to his words. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with great gratitude in your hearts. What Paul describes sounds a lot like, well, our worship services. We clothe ourselves in Christ's love and put on the virtue of love by letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, by teaching each other, by admonishing each other, not just with words from a sermon, but with the songs that we sing to each other. The practice of Christian singing trains our loves and informs our community that we have with one another. The singing that we do now in a very real way is a practice for the singing that we will do in eternity, in the new heavens and the new earth. So we sing in our worship service because we are invited and we are commanded to, and we sing to allow God's truth deep into our souls, individually and as a community. Finally, my third point this morning, we sing simply to glorify God. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 bring this out simply but powerfully, telling us we sing to God, or we sing to the Lord, because he is the object of our praise. Ephesians 5:19 says, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. It's to him and about him that we sing. To glorify can seem like a bit of a strange word for us today. In the New Testament, it was a Greek word that is called doxazo. It's where the title of the song that we sometimes sing, the doxology, comes from. You know, praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? We give God the praise he is due because he is glorious, to be glorified. We sing songs about him because he is doxazo. When we sing back to him his nature and renown, we are glorifying him as we should be. One of the major benefits for glorifying God on a regular basis is that we are able to tear down the idols that we have been glorifying instead of glorifying him. If we aren't about the work of glorifying God with the saints, our loves can get out of whack. One of my hobbies, one of the things I do for fun as an outlet outside of ministry, is that I collect sports cards. Hobbies are good. Things outside of our jobs to ground us are healthy. But hobbies, like anything else, can become an idol. So, related back to my hobby of sports cards, you may have seen this from a couple weeks ago because it broke through on a couple of the major news outlets, but a basketball card, this card, was featured that featured both Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant from 2007-2008, sold for an eye-popping $12.932 million. The most expensive card ever sold in history. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here, and I love a good basketball card as much as the next collector, but I think we can all agree that $12.932 million for a couple of autographs on cardboard is probably a misuse of our heart's affections and attentions. It strikes me as the glorifying of two men, or maybe an industry that is good at putting a ball in a hoop instead of over and above glorifying God. Hobbies, money, pets, kids, careers, vacations, sports stuff, none of these things deserve to sit on the throne of our hearts. We're meant to glorify God and God alone and find our rest in Him alone. Singing songs helps us to do this week in and week out. They tune our hearts to God's glory instead of a desire for sports cards. In the final book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 7, the Apostle John describes a glimpse of eternity with a great multitude of people from every tribe and tongue and nation singing before the Lamb that was slain. The vision is what we who are found to be in Christ, we get to sing for all eternity. A song like this: salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. When we glorify God now in our worship services, we practice what we will be doing for all eternity. We will be singing with brothers and sisters from every tribe and tongue and nation to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This future reality is essential to being God's kingdom people on earth here and now. Allow me to conclude with just a couple points of practical application this morning. As I said, singing has this unique way of bringing our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strengths together to focus entirely and completely on God. In an age of distraction, in an age of competing liturgies in the world around us, singing grabs the attention of our senses and focuses us on God. So, sing praises to God every opportunity you get. When you come here to City Line, sing loudly to the Lord with your whole heart, with all your body. Sing. I'd also encourage you to sing praises to God outside of Sunday morning. It's vitally important what we do here when we worship God, when we come together and sing. Vitally important, but can also be super beneficial to listen and to sing along with worship songs throughout the week. When you're driving in your car, throw on some worship music and sing aloud to the Lord. Have a little praise session. When you are cooking a meal at home, flip on some praise music and worship the Lord. When you're at your home, gather together your family if you have kids and sing together a little worship service. You don't have to be a good singer. You can even sing like me, just as well as I do. And you can praise the Lord throughout the week. Look for ways to praise the Lord in singing every day, so that you can come to Sunday morning primed and excited to worship Him with your church community here at City Line. Another very practical application for singing of praise songs is this. It's the words that we sing. Pay attention to the words that we sing when we do. Tom and the team do such a good job of choosing worship songs for us on Sunday morning. These songs have scriptural truths to teach us. There's deep and rich theology to be learned if we pay attention to the songs that we sing, to the words of those songs. When we pay attention, they get even deeper into our souls when we realize exactly what it is that we are saying and singing back to our God. Why? Why do we sing praises to God as part of our worship service, as part of our liturgy? If you think about it, it's kind of a strange thing. How many other times do you get together with a bunch of people and sing together? It's not something we often do in our society. So why do we do it here at City Line on Sunday mornings? We do it because God invites us to, because He burns these truths deep into our souls, and because it glorifies Him. Friends, brothers and sisters, an eternity of worship and singing awaits us. Will you be there on that day when that great multitude from every tribe and tongue and nation, without number, is singing songs of praise to the Lamb, singing praises to our God? I hope you'll be there, singing the song of our Savior Jesus Christ. Sing now, sing forever. Singing matters. What we do in our worship service every Sunday matters when we come together to sing praises to our God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray for us as we come to the table. Help us, O Lord, to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Help us to sing to you with a joyful noise. Lord, we need to be people who have true songs about you buried deep into our hearts. Help us to be those kind of people, your kingdom people, not seduced by the competing kingdoms or liturgies of our world. Lord, help us to be people who are empowered by your spirit, by your very presence on Sunday mornings and throughout the week, the places where we live and work and play. Empower us to sing your praises. Lord, help us to believe that you have the power and authority to take us and others out of the kingdom of darkness and bring us into your kingdom of light. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying in our place, living the life that we could not live, and dying in sacrifice that we couldn't provide for ourselves. So we worship you. We bless your name, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith. You who deserve all praise and glory, now and forever. Amen.